This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Hour number two will be Mitch and Finley. Toby Altizer in for JP today alongside Brian Mitchell. Reminder, we're giving away Caps Game 2 tickets today every hour at 20 minutes past the hour until 5:20 p.m. Your next chance to win coming up in about 17 minutes at 11:20. B. Mitch, we got some good news for the Wizards, assuming they can win the NBA draft lottery coming up next month. Cooper Flagg has officially declared for the NBA draft. I don't think there's much of a shocker there, though.
No. When he got hurt, and before it was the ACC championship and all that, when he got hurt, his mind was made up then. Because I know a lot of people talk about how much money people make in college. It is not the money that they're making in the pros. Cooper Flagg might have made $2-3 million last year in college. But if he make it to the NBA, he get drafted first round, he's going to make not seven, eight figures, okay? He'll make eight figures, and he will get a massive, and he'll get massive endorsement things and all that. He'll make way more.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's one of those.
And I don't think any of these athletes that are playing in college right now, they grew up hoping to play in college. They want to go to the next level. They want to be tested against the best of the best. They want to travel the world and the country every week doing that. That's their job. That's what they want to do. So he's not making what the hell he made. Caitlin Clark was making more money than we thought. She gonna make more money. She made more money in college than she was as a pro because the pros wasn't paying them. Hell, all the endorsements she got, she probably making way more than she made in college. You know?
Yeah.
So you gotta understand, man, it ain't the same, especially men's basketball. It's not the same.
So if you look at On3 is a site that kind of tracks college sports. They're giving an NIL valuation. The guy that kind of opened my eyes to this a little bit more and not that I didn't understand this before, but it was refreshing to hear this sort of evaluation of the way that you're going to go about things is Jaden Daniels. There was a documentary on, I think, Prime, where they were following around some of these athletes from LSU, him, Livy Dunn.
They had a lot of people make money.
They
over
do.
There.
And basically, you had some of these athletes that were full on in it, right? They're going doing all this NIL stuff. And Jaden said, I ain't worried about it. If I got extra time, whatever, maybe, but I'm going to make my money in the league. To his point, he was valued at $2.2 million. And last year in the NFL, he made 25.
Right? Case closed.
Somewhere around there.
Case closed.
Like, I don't know. I don't know that I'm that worried about that. Look at Cooper Flagg.
But
his NIL valuation is 4.8. Next year, if he's the number one overall pick, which he will be, 13.8.
Yeah.
I think it'll be okay.
Like, I just say this to people. Like, a lot of people want to judge those guys who are some of the best athletes in the world, who want to compete against the best athletes in the world based off of what they think. See, they just look at the money. Oh, he's making that. Well, that money compared to what you're making, yes, it's a lot. Compared to what they can make, it's nothing. Okay? So when they see the chance to step to the next level, like, think about back then when MJ decided to go with Nike instead of Converse, did he ever imagine the money he's making at this point right now?
No chance.
And if you stay one more year at that damn college, or two more years at that college, and you get hurt, you don't make it to the next level, you think the college is going to support you the rest of the year? Yeah, they might give you a little job as an ambassador. It won't be paying you all those millions that you can get.
Yeah, I mean, if you just think about it in your own life, I don't know of a great example, but would you play the risk of playing another year in college, yes, you're going to make some money. There's no doubt about it. You're still going to make $4 or $5 million if you're Cooper Flagg, but you also risk the potential of a devastating injury where you just left so much money on the table as an NBA draft pick.
Hey, man, listen. If you have the ability to go out to the next level and make it, you should go ahead and try to make it. Like, the thing that I get pissed at, football and basketball are limited. Why? There's some reason that you limit football and baseball players come out of high school. You know, they can sign these deals and go to college for a year or two, but they already got a little deal.
Mm-hmm.
Football and basketball, that doesn't work for. Tennis players could be 14 if they're good enough and go do it. If you're track, you can go run. You know, hockey, you can go no matter what age you are. But football and basketball, you got to go to college first. And you can't tell me that they don't make it do it because those are the biggest generating sports in this country, especially for the universities. So the universities are saying, hey, we're getting something out of you before you go. And you really think those companies that are paying these players this amount of money and these collectives and all that, you think the college not getting their share? It's very much like on this radio, okay? We come in with talent. But if we read, we go get what the company gives us. But they got way more than we got.
Yeah, I mean.
Promise you that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a business after all, and it's one of those things that I think this is why for the longest time it was a big rip-off for the athletes, and now in turn you've seen it swing a little bit in the athletes' favor, but they're still not making the majority of the money.
It's swinging in the athletes' favor.
More than it was before.
But as soon as the athletes started getting money, now they're trying to say, we got to make it equal for everybody. Everybody not equal. So if an athlete if Cooper Flagg goes to the NBA, which he is, he don't have to worry about what the other people making. Because that company going to make sure he's top dog. But in college, they're trying to make it to where we go to make sure everybody's staying close to each other. Everybody's not close to each other.
Yeah, and I mean, even at like the highest level, these guys, the best college basketball players, best college football players, you're not making what you're making at the top level if you're a number one, number two, number three draft pick. You're just not. It's never going to get to that level, in my opinion. And when you think about, you know, maybe some of
people
these
people don't
dudes,
take pay cuts to go to the pros like they used to do back in the
no.
day.
I mean,
you know, back in the day when they had the think of it now, because it's legal, everybody think everything is totally above board. I refuse to believe that. I came up in the Wild Wild West, baby. I saw it happening with SMU and all these teams were doing things, and I come right behind it. It's still what you see today is half of what's going on, more than likely.
So his valuation is $4.8 million, according to On3. In order for him not to make $4.8 million in the NBA in his first season, he would have to get drafted 15th. Because 14th is 4.9, 15th is 4.6. Exactly. So, I think there's a discussion to be had for players that are in the later half of the first round that are potential guys in the second
round.
But
those players that are projected to go in the later half of the first round are not valuated at 4.8.
Correct.
They're probably valuated at 800,000, maybe 700,000. Some of them might be up to a million. So those guys are still going to make more money at the next level.
Let's see what they have Derek Queen's NIL valuation at, because he's someone that could maybe end up right around that lottery. So to your point, On3, the same place that I just got this one, has his at 863,000. So
he going to make more than that.
Again, he's going to make more
if
in the NBA.
He's a first-round pick, he's making more than that.
Yeah, and he'd be a first-round pick. He's not a second-round pick.
And what comes with a first-round pick? Endorsements. Say, and that endorsement is not necessarily what your school is endorsing. See, a lot of these kids have shoes, but they at the school. In the school, you wear what?
Yeah, whatever. You wear the clothes the school made.
So you can't wear the shoes that you can get an endorsement by. So it's all more money at the next level. Now, you people that just fall in love with your college and want the kid to just stay there and sell his life to the college, y'all fools. That man got to go out there and take care of what he can for himself and his family more than anything.
Reminder, we got Caps tickets coming up at 11:20. Want to take a look at some NFL news. A couple of minutes ago, around 10:30, the Eagles and Pro Bowl center Cam Jurgens agreed to an extension, 4 years, $68 million, $39.4 million guaranteed.
Question. The top center in college right now, you think he's going to make 4 years, $68 million, and $34 million? That's 16 a year? You think they making 16 million
no.
over?
No.
Okay, then.
No.
Cam Drake is smart man.
Yeah, and I think with one thing the Eagles do a really good job of is
take care of them early.
They invest heavily in their offensive line and defensive line, and then they take care of their guys that they view as the staple guys, right? Like Milton Williams, they were able to develop. I think they looked at the valuation of what he was going to get in the free market and just didn't feel like they were going to be able to put that together, especially looking at Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
But a guy like a Cam Jurgens, think about how they've kept Kelsey all those years. Think about how they've kept Lane Johnson. Think about how they've kept, Mailata now. And these guys, they always have a solid O-line. They always take care of their
dudes
up front.
Continuity helps. And if you could keep the same people blocking for a long time, you're going to have a lot of success.
Well, and especially at the offensive line position, right? Like continuity and being able to have chemistry is huge on an offense. Mm-hmm. But especially on that O-line, when you're understanding who you're picking up. Because one thing about the offensive line, more so than any other position group on the field, is you can take a bunch of C-level talent, make them play like A's because they all play together.
Yeah.
Versus you can take a bunch of A-level talent, they all play like C's because nobody's picking up the right guy.
There you go.
Right? So having a continuity at that position is massive.
Continuity and a good coach.
Yeah. And they have both
of those. Make sure you come up with the best blocking scheme and those guys work together, because you go back and think about 91, Jeff wasn't the first round pick. Jacoby mm-hmm. wasn't the first round pick. But they block like it. Ray Brown was drafted as a tight end. Ended up being offensive lineman.
Yeah, I mean, right up there probably his most important position coach is offensive line coach.
There you go.
Being able to make sure those guys all coordinated together. A couple of tweets today from Adam Schefter, reports today from Adam Schefter. Curious to get your thoughts on. The Saints are already making calls about trading up in the second round. And then also the Broncos have made some inquiries about trading up in the first round of the draft. How much action do you think there's going to be in terms of trades on draft night?
I think it's going to be something. Like, normally these trades go up for quarterbacks at the beginning of the first round. But this draft may not be sexy when it comes down to top-level quarterbacks, things of that nature. But there are a lot of edge rushers and defensive linemen and running backs and cornerbacks that somebody may want to get later on in that first round. And then what happens is, what people don't understand, if a guy has a first-round grade and you can – yeah, you got the 32nd pick. I mean, 33rd pick, which is beginning of the second round. You get him for 4 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't get him for five at that moment. That first-round pick you get for 5 years. So if you move up a little bit and grab him, you got control of him for a longer time. and teams think like that too. And if I have a grade on a guy in a draft and I got the 30th pick – let's say somebody else have the 30th pick, I have the 33rd pick. What does that trouble me to move up three picks to get him if I want to get him?
I mean, to your point, the Panthers made this trade last year. They went from 33 to 32 to pick Xavier Leggett. They moved up one spot so they could get that fifth year.
Yeah.
So they gave up 33 and then a fifth-round pick to get 32 and 200 overall, which is probably like a seventh.
It works, man. So right now, the teams, there will be teams calling. And listen. Adam and crew will be listening, but if somebody drops to them that they saw it was up way farther, you think they're not going to keep them for themselves?
Well, and so many people are focusing on, for Washington, they're focusing on trading out of 29. I think you can get similar, maybe not the exact same value, but you could do something like that at 61 if you're sitting there and you got a guy you like at 29. You just take and pick, mm-hmm. and then you say, well, we still need to recoup picks. Do that in the second round then.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, it's not just that one pick that you can get, but you are at a position, and I stated this a few weeks ago, they position themselves to where they don't have to do anything.
Yeah, exactly.
I can wait, and somebody may fall here that I get a better value for. Could be somebody I thought we could have gotten up, but they get a run on another position, and he may drop down, boom, we got him. But what if the people I'm looking for are gone, but other people want this spot? Now I can get some more. So I don't think that Washington is in any position where they have to jump just because.
Yeah, I mean, I think their biggest position of need right now would be edge rusher, but it's not, I guess need is a strong word. I don't know that it's a need, right? Like, it's something that you want to upgrade. I think, Linnell and I were talking about this on Friday. Like, I want to see them leave the draft with an edge rusher. Doesn't have to be 29, doesn't have to be at 61, but I want someone so that regardless of who's starting week one alongside Dorrance Armstrong, you have someone you can kind of develop into that role. And I think Jean-Baptiste fits in there as well, but I want someone with some pedigree, but they're not stuck where they have to do any one thing. And so I think where it's going to be intriguing, if you're Washington watching this on Thursday, is what happens with the quarterback position. Because to your point, that's usually where the trades happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're seeing Cam Ward goes number one overall, that's kind of a foregone conclusion. Shador, where does he go? Does he slide? Jackson Dart was invited to the first round of the draft. Now apparently he's not going. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that he's not going to go in the first round? Not necessarily. Jalen Milroe has been invited. I don't know if he's still going.
What's the other guy? Starts with an S, I think.
Tyler Shuck.
Shuck.
From Louisville. Like, does someone get enamored with one of these guys, and you're sitting there at 29, and that's a prime position to get a quarterback? Because remember a couple of years ago with the Ravens, I mean, this is a while ago, but they traded back up to pick 32. Yep. Ozzie Newsome's last draft pick, I think first round pick, worked out quite well with Lamar Jackson.
Think about this. You found Lamar at 32. Many people don't think that there is a GM out there right now thinking that I could get me a Lamar or that level of a quarterback anywhere from 29 to 32. They don't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always have to be. You. When you're a bad team, you get great chances to pick somebody in the top 10. But when you're a legitimate team and okay, you have to find those people somewhere else. The thing about the Ravens didn't pick high a lot. They picked late in the first round, late in the second round. But they were able to maneuver and come back and get that dude.
Yeah.
There's another GM out there who thinks he can do something very similar.
Well, and if I'm Washington, if I'm Adam Peters, I've already done the groundwork so that everyone knows 29 is available if you want it. I'm not necessarily calling around now saying, hey, man, you want 29? Please take it.
No,
someone comes calling because, hey, I want to come up and get Tyler Shuck. I want to come up and get Jalen Miller. I want to come up and get Jackson Dart. Let's talk. I'm more willing to do that. So if I'm sure he's already laid the groundwork like, hey, this is going to be available. If you want a quarterback, you want a receiver, whatever it may be, as long as it's not our guy that we just feel like we have to take, we're willing to do it, but we're also willing to stick a pick as well.
I think like this. When you watch those trades happening on draft day, do you ever sit back and think like I do? I'm like, that's too much stuff to be going on in that quick of a thing for them to have just done that.
Oh, yeah.
They've been talking about that crap for some days now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're on the clock. You got 7.5 minutes. Whatever the minutes are, 5 minutes. And you going to tell me you just came up with a four-player trade. You got all the stuff going along with it, and that happened in those 7.5 minutes? Hell no. You've been talking about that before. So, listen, whatever goes down, they have the groundwork already for it. It's written. They can figure it out.
Yeah, they got a framework already ready to roll with.
Totally.
They'll figure it out, all the details, a little bit later on. Right now, be caller number 9 to 800-636-1067 to win a pair of tickets to Game 2 for the 2025 playoffs with the Washington Capitals on Wednesday, April 23rd versus Montreal at Capital One Arena. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com. We'll listen to Jaden Daniels with John Gruden next here on The Fan. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer in for JP today alongside Brian Mitchell. We have Caps tickets all day to Game 2, every hour at 20 minutes past the hour until 5:20. Your next chance coming up at 12:20, our latest winner, Hannah in Clarksburg. Congratulations, Hannah. You're going to Game 2.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited. Let's go, Caps.
Oh, yeah? What are you looking forward to?
Seeing Ovi.
Well, you're going to see him, believe me.
How many Caps games you get to this year?
I would say, I think it was about 2. I wish we went to more. My husband is a huge listener of your guys' station, so we were kind of tag-teaming this to grab these tickets. So thank you so much. I appreciate it.
There you
Absolutely,
go.
Hannah.
Hey, partnership always works.
Yeah, exactly.
Have a lot of fun.
Enjoy
and go
yourselves.
Caps. That's going to be awesome. That'll be a fun environment over there tonight and in Game 2 again. Your next chance at Game 2 tickets for the Capitals comes up at 12:20. Jaden Daniels was on with John Gruden. He's done a really good job. We were just talking about this in the break. John Gruden, with some of his content, now that he's kind of back in the mainstream and people are kind of, he's talking with quarterbacks, doing all these different things. Mm-hmm. I think he's done a really, really good job. You know, he was someone that I really loved watching his content back in the day. The quarterback school he'd have with, you know, Andrew Luck and these guys coming out in the draft.
He was on the broadcast. I mean,
he was
John
awesome.
Kept it real.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went up there calling like that. Well, you know, the referee. No. If they call a bad penalty, he talked about it. I loved it.
Yeah, he was not afraid to let you know what he was thinking. Well, Jaden Daniels joined John Gruden on YouTube this past week, and so I want to hear a little bit of what he had to say. He talked about how the routine for Jaden has made him successful and what he was able to do this season.
Isn't getting on a routine one of the key ingredients to being successful?
Oh, that's the biggest thing. Like consistency, you know, consistency is the biggest thing in this league. And having a consistent routine, obviously you got to redefine it each and every year as you get older. But finding your routine as fast as possible, I mean, that's probably going to set you up for the most success in the long run.
How hard is it to find that routine, B-Mitch? Like when you're getting into the league and figuring out what you need to do week to week, is it something that you kind of figure out, you follow some of the vets in your rookie year, or is it you kind of figure it out yourself as the years go on, and then by year four, year five, year six, well, you kind of have it down?
For me, I came in and I began to watch other people and try to just imitate what they were doing.
Sure.
But then as you get older, you begin to find yourself trying to do the same things at the same time. You know, maybe getting to sleep at a certain time, eating at a certain time. You get to work. My day is going to start off in the morning where am I going to work out or am I going to look at some film? You know, whatever that is, you try to consistently do it. And it works. It's just like, you know, the whole thing I always say about if you do something over and over again, it just becomes a reaction instead of a thought. Because on the football field, if you're thinking, you're in trouble. You know, things got to become a reaction. And you watch Jaden. I watch him come out on the field. He goes through the same thing with the basketball and the tennis ball. And he goes and he does stuff by the kicker's net where he's throwing stuff into the net. And a lot of people may be looking at it that don't understand anything of what's going on. But it translates to the game for him. And the whole basketball thing, you know, I always wonder, like, what the hell is the basketball? And then you see him when he shoots, it gets your wrists even a little bit more limber and loose and things like that. So trying to have the routine be exactly the same over and over again, it becomes second nature. Like I tell people about dieting. Make something a lifestyle change instead of like something you're going to just do just to get into a dress or get into a pair of pants. If you do it every day the same way, it doesn't become something different or a chore. It just happens.
Yeah, how much does it impact you when you have a difference of a routine where you have to make a change, whether it's a short week, longer week, whatever it is? Because I know for me, I was never at a high level, but playing golf, right? Uh-huh. Like you obviously have a pre-shot routine. You go through it because you want to be able to, whether it's, you know, you're down by one on the 72nd hole of a tournament, or you're just teeing it up randomly on a random Saturday and you're just having some fun. You want to have the same routine so it feels the same, right? You get into the same rhythm. But how much does it change when something makes you change your routine
a little bit? So if you got a Thursday game instead of a Sunday game, you're talking about the game is 3 days earlier. What you do is that Tuesday, Monday, you start doing stuff going into that Thursday and you run right into the game. If the game is at night instead of being in the daytime. Like when the game was at 1, I wake up in the morning, boom, and my day was already rolling. But if it's at night, you wake up in the morning, you have to make sure you don't, like, I will take that nap, and I wake up about the same amount of time, I will wake up prior to a 1 o'clock game. And then you start having everything rotate again. It's not that you have to do it exactly the same time every week. It's the timing of it, when you start doing things to build you up to a game, when you start doing things to get you ready for that actual practice that day. You know, and if you do those things like that, your body catches on. It knows at that point, like, okay, this is the day we're getting into action, or we're just going to practice today.
I like this from Jaden Daniels, cut number 4, where he was talking about how, you know, he had a great rookie season, and he was one of the best players in the National Football League, a top 5 quarterback in the league. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't still have to prove himself year after year after year.
Now, I know every team in the league has made you the number one offseason project. You know these coaches are sitting in there day in, day out, studying you. How does that motivate you, and what does that make you feel like?
I just think as a competitor, you're always trying to find little ways to get better. And for me, it's like last year was last year. That's great. But it's a whole new year now, and I still got to go out there. I got to prove myself to my teammates, organization, each and every day that I'm getting better. And then when it's time to prepare and when those games come, I got to know that, hey, how can I eliminate some tendencies, you know, stuff like that, because that's the big thing. You know, coaches are already trying to find tendencies of what this player is going to do so they can anticipate it and hopefully get you in that situation.
You're like a coach's dream, man. You know that?
I mean, he sounds like a guy, B-Mitch, that when we get 20, 25, 30 years down the road, we're going to be listening to these sorts of clips as someone that is an all-time great, right? As someone that you fall in love with because he has accomplished so much for this football team.
Oh, totally, totally. But the thing he's talking about, I speak about this a lot where everyone talks about watching film of the other team. He's talking about watching film of himself. He said, find out tendencies you're giving off. And if you can pick up your tendencies that you're giving off, something that you do every time, then you can switch it up or you can use it to make them think you're about to do something when you're finna do something else. Ernest Byner would always tell me, he said, man, I noticed right before the ball snap, you look right where you're going. So I used to like look around, look around, look around, boom, right before the ball snap. He said, if you do it every time, they will be waiting for you. So you start looking, look here, going there. Or look over here, but you're going up the middle.
Mm-hmm.
You find ways to try to make people, like I would play against kickers, and what I did, I watched the kicker. And if you watch a punter, kicker, you watch where they line up, you know exactly where the ball is being kicked. To kick the ball to the right, they have to start farther over to their left, and they go up, and then they come at the ball. To kick it to their left, they're like close to the ball where they could just pull it over to the left. So what you do, you line up right where they're kicking it at. They now have to try and adjust to try to fool you, and it'll mess them up.
Mm-hmm.
Or you line up where they don't – you make them think you don't know what the hell they're doing, and then you just – as soon as they get close to the ball, you take off. Now you catch the ball, and you come at it. You know, we would go out there with two returns based on where they're kicking, and I would wait. And then I would call a number, and then the people in the front of me would begin to just shoot the number all the way to the front, and we knew going right or left or even going in the middle. You got to find ways to pick up on them and also make sure they can't pick up on you.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to hear a guy that had a successful rookie season, and he's been like this since he's been drafted. He's as humble as could be. He understands that this isn't something where – how many guys have had rookie seasons that were really, really good and then never did anything afterwards?
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be one of those guys.
Right. Don't stay stagnant. And the thing about what I love about Jaden plays this game in a way most people don't even know. His mom made a comment to me and Santana about what he does. I love it. People just say he's out there just laughing. He laughing because he cracking jokes on people. He having fun. He getting under their skin.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to be able to do that.
Yeah, he stays calm under pressure. And the other thing, too, about it is he prepares, but he's not someone out there that has to tell you how hard he's working. Hey. Everyone else will tell you how hard he's working.
After the game is over, you know he's been working hard.
But exactly right. He's not one that has to tell you. I want to hear some of the rest of Jaden Daniels' audio. Also, former Washington quarterback could be on the move. And remember, Caps tickets at 12:20. Keep it tuned right here to 106.7 The Fan.
B. Mitch here. If you want comfort and convenience wherever life takes you, then you need to turn the Rood. The Wi-Fi compatibility... you have full control of your heating and cooling system right from your phone. If you forgot to turn down the heat before vacation, you can adjust it in mere seconds, plus you'll get alerts if something's not right. These guys are the best. They've installed new systems in my house, and I felt the difference instantly. And here's the best part. Rood's systems are whisper quiet. No more noisy interruptions, just peace of mind. Rood's variable speed compressor ensures precise temperature and humidity control, operating efficiently even in extreme conditions. It's comfort and performance perfectly balanced. And also, you don't forget about the savings. You can qualify for federal tax credits up to $2,000 per heat pump through 2032. Visit Rood.com/federal incentives to learn more. Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And remember, if it ain't Rood, it ain't right.
We got a special guest coming up in about 15 minutes. We got Fred Smoot going to join us coming up at noon. Also, giving away Caps Game 2 tickets all day today at 20 minutes past the hour until 5:20. Your next chance coming up at 12:20. Also want to remind you that the Caps back in the playoffs. Grant and Danny are going to be live from City Tap House Penn Quarter today before game one. If you come out, you can win two free tickets. 901 9th Street Northwest in Washington, D.C. Make sure you're listening or check out Grant and Danny a little bit later out at City Tap House. Caps game one tonight against the Canadiens. Want to continue to hear from Jaden Daniels, who was on with John Gruden, thought, you know, what he had to say was really insightful into his mindset going into the season and what he was able to accomplish last year. want to hear what he had to say about Cliff's offense, clip number three, Landfill. I think it's interesting what they were able to accomplish in year one. Here's Jaden Daniels on the offense that Cliff installed.
200 yards rushing, 300 yards pass. I've never seen that much total offense from a quarterback. And then when you teamed up with Cliff Kingsbury, your offensive coordinator, I had no idea what kind of offense you guys were going to run. How do you summarize this Commander offense that you're running?
I think it's unique. I think for us, we got pro style concepts. You know, we don't huddle half the time. Our majority of the time, I would say not even half the time. Sometimes we might huddle. It's like a little muddle huddle where it's like, you know, I'm speaking to everybody, might give a little hand signal here and there, but it's unique and it fits us. You know, we want to be up fast, up tempo, because we don't really want to give the defense a chance to get set. And, you know, in this league, first, second down, but third down, man, they call all the exotic blitzes. You know, you got to go up there. You got to figure out where they're blitzing from. So, you know, we try to eliminate as much as possible. And if we do got to get in that situation, you know, we always prepare for that too.
How much do you think that played into what they were able to do this year with that no huddle and able to get up to line of scrimmage, kind of maybe get simpler defenses? I think it fit exactly like he said, kind of fit what they were trying to do. And I really love the way they did, because it was a no huddle, B. Mitch, without always being up tempo.
Well, what they were doing is basically not allowing the defense to automatically know, because the defense is waiting for you to get your people in the huddle, because immediately now they know exactly what personnel it is in. You break the huddle, they watch where people go, they trying to give you the, you know, what side is going to be the strong side, this, that, and the other. But what they did, they had kind of a loose huddle where Jaden was, they found out early, which they were mad. They didn't want him, they didn't want the league to know. They didn't want the league to know how good he was, how smart he was, and that he could check off. So what they did, he showed early on that I'm able to communicate to every person what we're running, whether by hand signals or telling them. And then he was able to get up there and scour the defense to know what he needs to put his team in. You feel what I'm saying? So when you start doing those things, and you're like most young quarterbacks, they get to the line of scrimmage. They're waiting for what the center says. Then they start looking, and they take long. The longer you take, the better the defense can combat what you're doing. But if you walk up to the ball, boom, ball is snapped, that defense is now, they're going to go base. And the more they go base, the easier it is for you to go out and have some level of success.
How often do you see a rookie quarterback having the control of the line of scrimmage that Jaden had?
Not often. Hell, some of the best didn't have it like that as a rookie. You know? So what you're impressed by that. And all of the stuff he talks about with his virtual reality and all that stuff, people like to laugh. I hear people cracking jokes and stuff. But if you were ever put it on your head and look at what it's showing you, it's showing you everything faster. And once you get to the point where you can read that stuff coming, it's plays that they actually run.
Yeah.
You know, and you read it a lot quicker and you pick it up on it. When you now get into a game, like they say, things slow down for you, they slow down. You know, so he was probably the first guy that really took that to a big level in college. Nobody was doing that in the pros. I bet you people are getting it for their guys in the pros now.
Well, and I think you saw it slow down significantly for him as the season went on. Probably. I think early on in the season it was still quick for him. Mm-hmm. But especially once you got to the end of the year, there was nothing that was rattling him. There was nothing that he was looking at going, what the heck is this I'm looking at?
It was a combination of his experience growing, you know, and also that virtual reality still working. You didn't see him get to the end of the season and say, I got it now, I'm stopped looking at this. You can speed that up. So if you're catching it quicker, now you want to be tested a little quicker. How about speed it up a little bit in the virtual reality machine? And you'll find out. And if he could pick up those things quick, it shouldn't be that difficult in the game.
Yeah, I think it was Ben Standig had the piece talking about the VR. He had things turned up to like 1.4 speed, 1.3, 1.4. So these guys are moving faster than they ever could move in
That's
real
what I'm
life.
Saying.
I mean, these dudes are running 3 second 40s in the thing that he's watching, right? So he's getting to see it at a different speed. The thing that impressed me as the season went on is, you know, it's one thing to be able to command a muddle huddle like he does, right? Where you're mm-hmm. just calling out the signals and understanding everything, but also making checks at the line. He's calling protections. There was a call, I think it was the second Philadelphia game, the one they won, where he got a look he liked and they ran quarterback trap right up the middle. Yeah. That was a check from Jaden.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like those sorts of things you just don't see from rookie quarterbacks.
And I think that's the thing about it where coaches give you that ability, but they don't want you to check it off a play that they gave you unless it works. And for him to have the confidence as a rookie to check off as many things as he did,
yeah,
it tells you that they had to at some point went to him and said, look, man, if you see it, take it. Because if you do it so often and you're having success with it and you're, you know, you're not failing, the coach has to let you know, I want you to do this.
Final thing from Jaden with John Gruden. He talked about what Dan Quinn, how he wants him to take that next step in his second season.
Speaking of Dan Quinn, he's a fiery, upbeat, positive guy, D-line coach. Can you give the fans out there just a quick summary how Jaden Daniels sees his head coach?
Man, I love him. Players coach, he take care of us. He wants the best for us, and he's always looking for ways to tell me how to improve. Like this offseason, I had a conversation with him, and he's like, man, I got something for you that I want to see you take this next step, and I think it's going to be better for you and the whole team too. So, you know, it's that coach where it's like, man, he feels like he has to learn too. He's going to challenge me. I'm going to challenge him.
I love that.
I like the fact that he said that. If your coach tell you you could challenge me, that's a secure coach. Not many NFL coaches are that secure. They want to be able to tell you and yell at you, but if they make a mistake, they want you to still don't say nothing to them.
Yeah, and I think
I don't like those coaches.
Sometimes you hear players coach, and it's a misnomer of this is a guy that is just a pushover and hangs out with the players.
Nah.
And that is not at all the case with Dan Quinn. He's going to get on you. At the same time, he loves you. He wants to see the best for you. He wants obviously you to have success and be the best player that you can be. It's going to help him, but I don't even know it's as worried about himself as he wants you to be the best player, best person you could possibly be.
You always hear Dan talking about how he wants the player to know that he cares about them and he's trying to make them the best. Once that player understands that by our coach, that's a player's coach. The coach that can't talk to his team, where his team don't know if he cares about him or not, he can never be a player's coach. And you know what coaches those are? Those coaches, they always try to do something easy to make the player think I like it. But if you give me my way and I'm still not improving, I don't like you as a coach. You know what I'm saying? Then you're not a player's coach. You're just worthless. You know? And that's all. Look, this man, Dan Quinn, you watch him. He is consistent in what he does. He can go up there and talk to his dudes, smiling on his face. He also can walk up to him, put his arm around him, and let them know they did something wrong. And they walk off shaking their head and understanding because they know he cares. That's the first thing as a coach you better be able to present to your player, that you give a damn about him.
Yeah, I mean, two things with him, right? Players want to play for him because he's a player's guy. He's going to be friendly. He's going to help you out. But also, he's going to get the best out of you. I think you look at this team last year, they maxed out their abilities. They absolutely did. They were not a top four talented roster in the National Football League. We can argue about where they were, but they weren't top four, but they played like it because they were coached.
They probably weren't because they didn't have names that we recognize. But when they went on the field, they played at a level
exactly right
that made you understand. And that's because the coaching staff, they develop players. They get the best out of their players. You know, we've had coaching staffs here that could not develop and couldn't get the best out of. So we had some names we thought were the stuff, and then they played like no names. This team played like a bunch of names.
Hoping a team tonight playing in Game 1 is going to play like a bunch of names. Capitals, Game 1 tonight. Reminder, we're giving away Caps Game 2 tickets today every hour at 20 minutes past the hour until 5:20. Your next chance to win is 12:20. Joining us next, Fred Smoot, the Mouse of the South, going to join us next. Here will be Mitch Finley.